The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, that didn't go so well for the Astros last night. And we'll start getting ready for UFC. Lots of good stuff to get to. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master, has returned. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You are good to go. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We do things just a little bit differently, so if you want to text or you want to use Twitter, Facebook, call in, that, you know, if you want to do something old-fashioned and actually dial the phone, just put odds on.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
What are the odds? The Astros are in a little bit of trouble now.
Percent 1,000, they're in a little bit of trouble. I mean, I don't know how much trouble they're in. That's to be determined, but they've definitely got an uphill climb at this point.
Yeah, that was a bad loss considering both the Rangers and the Angels won, and I'm not ready to write them off yet because, you know, those two teams have to play each other, which certainly benefits them. But realistically, I don't know if 2-2 gets it done down the stretch here. I think they probably have to go 3-1.
Well, I think that if that's the case, I don't have high hopes.
Yeah, especially with Kazmir going tonight. Kazmir as bad as he's been.
Yeah, there's. I don't want to be doom and gloom. I mean, there's obviously still a chance, but
they're a half game out of a playoff spot, so it's not the end of the world.
Right, but this is, I mean, they have been, of all the teams that are in the conversation, they're the only ones with a big, giant down arrow by their name. Yeah. Like, the Angels have played out of their mind the last couple of weeks.
Actually, the Rangers have not been very good
the
last week.
They haven't, but they built up enough of a cushion that it doesn't really matter. And the Twins have come on strong. You know, it's nobody's fault but the Astros.
No, it's not. It only takes one hot streak here for them to be fine. But it better happen now.
Now they have to have a hot streak and hope that the other teams lose.
Well, not really. I mean, if they just have a hot streak, they're going to wind up in the playoffs because if the Rangers and Angels split, they'll catch one of them. If one of them blows the other team out of the water, they'll catch that one. So, I mean, it's just a matter of if they get a hot streak, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But you're running out of time to do it.
And there's nothing that tells me that that's going to happen. Nothing.
No, there isn't.
I don't see anything that says, oh, yeah, they're about to really break out here.
I'd feel better if they were playing these dog teams at home.
That'd be a lot better.
Then I would say it might happen. But
yeah, no, I don't know how you can feel good about this right now. And, you know, you're a game ahead of the Twins. A half game out of the Angels.
Twins, who are playing doubleheader today and are up in the first game 1-0.
I think we can safely say the Yankees are making the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, they'd have to lose every game going forward.
They're playing really poorly right now, but they've got enough of a cushion they can afford to fade that a little bit.
But the Angels have just been a freak show. I mean, they've won 7 in a row now. They're a team that nobody's really excited about the possibility of having to play.
Right.
They could potentially, you know, put some work on the Rangers. That's a team that really could, you know, kind of bring them back down. But are the Astros going to be able to take advantage even if they do?
I'm skeptical.
I am too.
But
because the Astros and Rangers have been, they've been playing about equal ball now for a week or two.
Yeah, except for when they play each other. And that's the difference in the whole season, frankly, is how the Astros have done against the Rangers. 713-780-ESPN on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. We've got some great interviews for you over the next few days for UFC, including the guy who's fighting in the main event.
Alex Gustafson. We'll talk to him today around 5:30. Talk to a former UFC champion, Johnny Hendricks. We'll get him in the 6 o'clock hour. So we've got a busy day. Tomorrow we'll have – and listen, I know there's probably going to be some of you who are like, oh, what are we talking about, this MMA crap? Well, because the UFC is going to be in town tomorrow or on Saturday. And there's a lot of people who are interested. This is it's always a big event when the UFC comes to town.
And I would just say that when it does come to town, these guys will go around and do other interviews with other people. We've actually got an MMA expert right here on the show, and you're going to get a lot better stuff than you will from any of those other guys. So we're going to focus on it. I mean, it's something that a lot of our listeners love. Not everybody does, but you're also still going to get your other stuff. Right. Don't worry. We've got some goofy stories for you. We've got football talk. We just talked to Astros. There'll be plenty of the other stuff that you like. And if you're not, you know, if you're not into MMA and it's just not something that you care about, that's cool. But we're going to hit it hard because it is here. It's a big deal. And this is one show that I think can actually speak about it and know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy being able to hear AJ get in depth with some of these guys and get some information that you're probably not going to get anywhere else. 713-780-ESPN.
There's a little bit more baseball to talk about than there normally is, and I'm usually not one to beat the drum for baseball talk on the show, but I do think it's interesting that.
Sorry, I was going to beat the drum for you.
I'd argue if you told me. Pick the best team in baseball right now, the team that's playing better than anybody, I would tell you it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're going to have to play the Cubs, who have a pitcher that is just unhittable. And Jake Arrieta has given up 4 runs. And, God, I'm going back. It's like the last 40-something innings. I mean, he's just a freak right now.
But you know what? That guy that's going to be pitching for them is pretty good, too.
Gerrit Cole, he pitched today and got a win, but... I mean, if you can't score runs, it's very difficult to win baseball games. One thing I've learned about baseball over the years is you have to score at least 1 run to win the game.
Theoretically.
And Jake Arrieta is making it very, very difficult for teams to even score 1 run against him. So the Cubs did themselves a favor by locking up this spot when they did. You know, they're in, so they can set up their rotation, and they know they're playing on the road against the Pirates. And I mean, unless the Cardinals have a complete collapse, but they know they're playing on the road against the Pirates or the Cardinals, and they can make sure that this is their guy. This is who's going to be pitching in that game to get him in the playoffs. And he is just a monster right now. This is now going back to August 20th. He's given up 4 runs since August 20th. Only 2 earned runs. I mean, that's I don't know how you have some numbers like that, but it really is phenomenal what this guy has done. He's won something like 10 straight starts or something like that, and the Cubs have won in his last 12 appearances. So it's gonna really be a hell of a thing to watch that game. And normally, I don't pay that much attention to a wild card game because it's not really the start of a series, and I'm more of a casual baseball fan, so I might watch it, might not.
That one I would watch, and I think that makes the Cubs very interesting because we talked about this a few weeks ago. If you get in the wild card, and yeah, you have to burn your ace to win it, but you get to that next series, you're going to have a meaningful game where that guy's available.
Probably game 3.
Yeah, so if you've gotten out with a split, then you're going to be putting yourself in a real good position to win the series. Or, you know, if you get off to a great start and go up 2-0, suddenly you got this guy.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing in the world to have your ace for a key game right in the middle of that series. Now, you can't use him as much as you'd like to in the series, obviously. You know, and if you get to the next round, you'd like to have him, heck, throw him out there 1-4-7 if you have to. But it's not a terrible thing to have a guy for game 3 or game 4, which is going to be, you know, that's going to be a critical game. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm real curious to see. Yeah, you know, I'm obviously very interested in the Blue Jays too, because they're still playing really good baseball. And when they get Tulowitzki back, I think that's just going to be a big boost if he's anywhere near 100%. And that's going to be a fun team to watch. And I think I'm interested in the playoffs this year for a lot of reasons. And it'd be nice
more
if the Astros
got in. Yeah, more interested if the Astros get in. But
you know what the Astros did for us this year? And I want
they made us talk about baseball.
I want to thank them for this because...
And not just making fun of them.
No. They didn't... Not like they messed up their draft pick or got their computers hacked. And that's why we talked about them before. But before football season started, we actually had tangible Astros stuff to talk about from on the field. So if they don't make it, well, we got football. But
also,
thank you for that, guys.
They won more games than they lost this year. They had a winning team that they put on the field for the first time in a long time. It is really nice to have that in town, even if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, will it be a disappointment? Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any deny. I know there's some Astros fan. I heard John Granato saying no because they exceeded expectations. It's nice that they're ahead of schedule, but when you've got a lead like they have for most of the season to not make the playoffs,
it's a
disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely,
but it's only a disappointment relative to what the expectations that they set for themselves as the season went on, relative to preseason expectations. No one could be disappointed with this performance. This is a solid building season. Would it be nice to see him get in? Yeah, but if they don't, you can actually for once say they might be better next year.
Yeah, and there's reason to have hope for next year because there's still some guys in their system that we haven't seen yet that are probably pretty close.
Yeah,
and at this Appel point, developed a little bit in AAA this year. That might be a guy who's up next year finally. There's obviously a couple more hitters out there. So,
well, and you also have motivation to spend money,
right?
You know, it's like now going out and getting a free agent isn't throwing money down the toilet because that's a guy who could actually, if you get a free agent who over the course of the year gives you three or four more wins, you could win the division.
There's your difference.
You know,
I'd love to see them go out and get a big thumper that's a legitimate cleanup hitter at some point that hits for some average. I like Evan Gattis, but if Evan Gattis is a 5 or 6 hitter, you're a hell of a lot better off than – and I don't know that guy's in the system. I'd like to see them go and do something like that and get somebody who can play first base and do what they thought Chris Carter was going to do, only hit for average and not suck.
Yeah, I want – the problem is the names of the guys who play first base, I mean, there's – Chris Davis is a name that will be out there, and that guy, when he's on, he can be a guy that hits 40 home runs and doesn't drain your average. But when he's off, he's basically Chris Carter.
Yeah.
So that's a scary thing. The best hitting prospects or best hitting free agents that are going to be out there. I mean, Cespedes is going to be a free agent. He's going to be 30 years old. But the problem with the Astros is. They have 100 outfielders,
right?
And most of their prospects that are come like in the system that are next in the system are outfielders. They've got a ton of them.
That's where you make a trade.
Yeah,
that's where you trade one of those prospects and you get a guy who can play first base for you, and you move on from the whole Chris Carter experiment, and hopefully that's an answer.
But I think a guy that they should really look at, and this is another outfielder, but a guy who has a strong on base percentage. Is a great defensive player, is Alex Gordon. And that's a guy who now, he's not a young guy anymore. He's in his 30s. He's a young 30s now. But that's a guy who's played in a World Series, may have another one under his belt by this time next year. That's a nice guy to have on your team, on a team that doesn't have a lot of guys like that, doesn't have a lot of guys with that kind of experience. That's a guy who could be a leader for you and a guy who gets on base all the time.
All right, well, we'll get to your phone calls when we come back. I also want to hear from Mr. Lee about his trip.
Oh, I want to hear about that,
good
too.
To have him back. All right, but first I got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss. I was telling AJ before the show today is probably the most intense workout that I've done in 10 years. And I decided, well, before I get into this, I invested a bunch of money last week in new workout stuff and supplements and things like that. So whenever I do that, it's like, okay, I'm going to get really, really serious. And I was able to handle all of it today. And I just feel great. And it's been about a year ago. The reason I couldn't do it before, I just gotten too big. And it happens to all of us, man. You get in sedentary jobs. You get busy. You drink too much beer. You eat too much food. The next thing you know, you look down. You're like, wow, how did I get like this? Well, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you get embarrassed. I was. Then I went into Quick Weight Loss, 50 pounds, boom. And for the last year, I've been at about this weight, and I'm getting healthier. All the health problems I had are gone, and I'm able to do a lot more than I have in years, and I feel so much better about myself that I'm able to go out and run all these races and lift weights and play basketball and do things that I was doing 15 years ago when I was in shape. And weight loss is hard, man, in a lot of places. I mean, I've done it. I've lost weight. I've gained it back. I've tried really hard for a long time. It's just a constant battle, but not with Quick Weight Loss. I got the weight off, and it's been a year now. They've got a great new special for you. Lose up to 30 pounds, plus get a 30-day program for just $30. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, you can drop by one of their 15 great Houston locations. If you're outside of Houston, they've got a home program that you can do from there that works very well. Also, all you do, visit quickweightlosscenter.com or give them a call, 1-888-305-1117. 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And everybody throwing that A.J. Reed will be the we don't know. I mean, Jonathan Singleton was supposed to be the next guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been good so far, but prospects are just prospects until they actually get up and start doing something. I hope that's their answer. But and I think a lot of people also mentioned the bullpen has really fallen off here over the second half of the season.
That's terribly.
And they were that was a strength of the team early in the year, and one of the differences in why they were winning games. But that's something they're absolutely going to have to they're going to have to address that. And please don't tell me to look up A.J. Reed. I know who he is, but I'm not going to count on prospects. I mean, that's, you know, your hope is that those guys will turn into something, but you don't know until you get them up here. We've had that conversation 1,000 times on this show. All right.
A couple other things baseball related before we move away from it. Steven says, what are the odds that the Astros making missing the playoffs has an effect on Keuchel's Cy Young chance? I would say almost zero. In baseball is not like football. I mean, these awards are more about statistics and what you've not just like, you know, basic stats, but advanced statistics now. And we've seen, especially with Cy Young, there's been a ton of guys won the Cy Young that played on horrible teams. Felix Hernandez did it on the worst team in the American League, won the Cy Young. So it can be done. I do think that there are some legitimate arguments to be made at that on that award. Sonny Gray, Chris Sale, David Price. I think that it's going. I don't know who it's going to be. I think Keuchel has a solid chance. I think his last start of the. I mean, it could come down to the last start of the year for all these guys to really for someone to pull away or for someone to get knocked out of it. But I don't think that. I don't think that them making or missing the playoffs has much effect. I do think what's funny is, I think someone did ask us earlier in the year about the rookie of the year, and we were like, it's a 100% lock, Carlos Correa. It's going to be a close vote.
Yeah, it is.
Francisco Lindor.
Lindor
has played crazy baseball, and he is a. He's a better defensive player. Correa hits for more power. Their on-base percentages are about the same. It's going to be close. I think Correa will probably win because he's been sexier because he hits home runs. But Francisco Lindor is a really really good shortstop, and he's made it a race when it looked like there was no one to even put in the discussion. With Correa, so and I don't know if anything's changed on the manager of the year front. I still think Hinch should probably be the manager of the year.
I just think with the turnaround they had. But back to the Cy Young, though, I have several former colleagues who vote for that, and the last couple of weeks I've touched base with them via email just to see where they were leaning, and it's almost. And as of Monday, it was almost to a man. It was either Keuchel or Price, and almost all of them were leaning Keuchel. and the other guys really weren't getting a lot of run from them at all. That's five guys who have votes. So
yeah, I think it's going to be Keuchel or Price. I think Sale, like when you just look at his numbers, they're jaw-dropping because of the strikeouts. But I do think they take into account wins, and they look at these more advanced stats. And those are the two guys. I think those are the guys that it boils down to. I think if there's anything that hurts Keuchel, it's his road performance. And you're going to see one more of those before the season's over.
Yeah, and I think if he wins his 20th game, the fact that he went 15-0 at home, which no one's ever done, that puts you over the top. And I think he's going to win it. If he doesn't, I think it'll be Price, and I wouldn't complain about
that. Yeah,
I don't
think there's a crime either way, whichever guy wins it. Yeah. Someone mentions Jeff Bannister for Manager of the Year. You could, I mean, they had another huge turnaround, too, and they're going to probably end up winning their division. You could make a very valid argument for Jeff Bannister.
I'm biased there because I went to high school with him, so.
With Bannister?
Yeah.
I think that
I love the guy.
He and Hinch have both just brought these teams around that really no one had much expectations of, and to have them where they are, I think is pretty impressive. But I wouldn't make a big argument against either. Hell, you can mention Paul Molitor too if they end up making the playoffs in Minnesota. Talk about a guy who, you know, has very little experience, and suddenly he shows up this year and has his team in the playoffs. Well, that'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah,
damn impressive.
Yeah, I don't think you could. It's another one. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those guys. I don't think it's a crime if you give it to Bannister over Hinch, especially if the Rangers win the division. But you know, the Rangers, I think you expected to be better because Prince Fielder was going to be back. They had so many injuries
because
last year.
Because Yu Darvish was coming back, who they lost again.
Yeah, but then, yeah, I still think even without him, they were supposed to be pretty decent because last year was just an aberration.
I think so, too.
And I think most people think that. But
they've also gotten pretty good performances out of guys that they probably weren't expecting them from. I mean, Delino DeShields was a guy the Astros had basically cast off, and he's a everyday player and a very good one for the Rangers. I mean, they've made you know, I don't want to say they've made chicken salad out of chicken bleep, but
They made chicken salad out of some stale chicken salad.
Yeah.
And it was still chicken salad. It just wasn't. It just needed to be tweaked a little. So, Jong, first thing I see the other night when you get on the plane is you tweeting out a link at us where you have all this leg room. Were you in first class? What the hell?
No, apparently.
Oh, he's 3'9".
United apparently upgraded some of their planes. And a lot of the planes that they've upgraded, they give you more leg room. Which I was like, hey, I sat down. I was like, wait, where are we? Like, this isn't first class. I had about 5 inches in front of me, so it was nice.
That's all you
five
need.
Inches in front of you.
Yeah,
nice,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah, it was a lot of room.
That's about perfect.
What had Teresa feel about it? Was she pleased by the 5 inches in front of you?
Oh yeah, she was like, this is plenty of room.
Okay, good. She's easily satisfied. That's good to know.
Yeah, much better than what we took to go to Japan, which was a different airline. Which the stadium in Dallas, the basketball stadium, is named after. We took that one.
Okay.
And there was like no leg room. It was like an inch.
How many inches? You had 1 inch in front of you there?
Yeah, yeah. It was very,
Teresa
very
was
small.
Not happy about
no,
that.
No, no, no.
An inch
no, no.
isn't going
to
do it.
Yeah, she needed much more to work with.
Yeah, it's hard to satisfy even a woman, much less a man.
Yeah.
With just inch in front of you.
I did go watch Jake Arrieta go pitch that Sunday night.
Oh, you went to Wrigley?
Yeah.
Cool. Is that your cool first experience? Trip
there? Yeah. First trip to Chicago, first trip to Wrigley. And it was the number one thing I wanted to do when I was in Chicago, which was go to Wrigley Field and watch the baseball game. I gotta say, it's like it's a different experience because the stadium, you know, the stadium's 101 years old,
right?
And the feel of the stadium is much much different than Minute Maid.
What they did was it's in. Had you gone last year, you'd probably have a totally different experience. But they basically gutted that whole place this offseason and the early part of this season, and it's almost a brand new ballpark on top of itself. But I've heard it's very nice.
I haven't been there since they redid it. So.
I wanted to go, and where we were staying was literally two blocks from Wrigley Field, and they were out of town and they were doing all the construction when we were there. So we ended up going down to the White Sox game, which. It was fine, but it's probably not the same experience as going to Wrigley Field. But, yeah.
It's it's a very, very nice city, Chicago is, and the architecture there is really nice.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, and it's in downtown and upper north Chicago. It's a different feel because obviously downtown you get a lot of the tourists, and then when you get off that train near Wrigley, it feels like a different city, and really cool.
Everyone there is gay.
In North Chicago?
That's a very gay area right there around Wrigley Field.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's either sports bars or gay bars.
Oh, so it's like...
Or gay sports bars.
Or gay sports bars. But yeah, we quickly learned that as we did some neighborhood scouting when we got there that, yeah, almost every bar is either a gay bar or a sports bar right there by Wrigley. But how was the brew? Did you
the
you
zombie
got,
dust?
You've got some
the
zombie dust.
The zombie dust was amazing.
I told you that's a good.
I couldn't find any on draft.
Okay.
They had them in bottles, but that was a very. It's a lighter tasting because I like the hopadilla, which is very hoppy. But the zombie dust was a
more tropical.
Yeah, it was good. It was smooth.
That's my jam. Food good.
I'm not a big fan of deep dish pizza.
Oh, so, crazy.
So I'm more of a fan of the New York style pizza.
Oh, that's
so, but the place we went to, I forgot what it's called, but it's like the number one tourist pizza place. It's amazing. It was good.
Good times, man. You recommend?
Yes, Chicago is very, very high up there. And the
good,
weather...
good time of year to go.
Yes.
You don't want to go in December, but right about now it should
well,
have been
although
perfect.
One of Teresa's friends that lives in Chicago went out with us a little bit. He said last year at this time it was like 40.
Yeah.
But when we went up there, it was 69, 70 the whole time.
Yeah, we went in either, I think it was April, because I went right after the NCAA tournament. Yeah. And man, it was perfect up there. I hear that it does get hot in the summer, but
it gets hot everywhere in this country in the summer.
That's
some people dog on how bad it is in Houston during the summer. It's like I've been in Fort Worth in August is brutal. I've been almost anywhere. Everywhere except for Southern California, it's brutal during the summer at some point everywhere in this country.
I don't like going to cold places in the wintertime. I tried my best to avoid it. Unfortunately, that's not always possible because my wife is from a cold place and sometimes we have to go up there for Christmas or whatever. That can be rough. But
tell me about it considering where my wife is from.
Yeah, I don't like doing that, but... But yeah, I think you went at the perfect time. Beautiful up there.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to—I completely forgot to do—was go by the United Center and take a picture with the Jordan statue. But that's like West Chicago, and that was like completely different from where we were staying.
Did you do the what you were talking about the architecture? Did you do the boat tour?
That's one thing we did not do. Her friends did it, but she didn't really care too much about it. She wanted to go around, explore, walk around, and eat.
Yeah.
So we did that, and maybe if we go back to Chicago again, we'll do the boat tour.
Did you gain some weight?
I think so, a little bit.
Yeah.
Do I look a little fat?
No, I'm just saying. I think I gained like 9 or 10 pounds when I was there, and that was in a week.
Well, glad to have you back. Aaron did a very good job in your stead, but always good to have the full band together. It's kind of like, you get the bass player to come in, and somebody fills in. He does a good job. It's all right.
Right.
The band doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, I'm Ringo of the group.
That's right. All right, guys, if you're a little banged up, if you injured yourselves, you're still trying to play young man's games in an old man's body, you need to know about the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of the UT Physicians. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive. They're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed a system to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. They've got 3 easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugar Land, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front. And they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedics, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715. Visit them online at rbjc.com, where you'll learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online. And a physician referral may not be necessary, depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. 2 great sports stations, 2 presets. Lock them in.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we'll get some football talk in a little bit. There's a game tomorrow night, but there's going to be a big guy missing. And Dr. Vishal Shaw is here to Tell us all about it.
Yeah, Dr. Vishal Shah from the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of UT Physicians Group. Doc, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Good afternoon.
Man, when Ben Roethlisberger went down, it looked really, really nasty. Is a sprained MCL about as good of a diagnosis you could have hoped for with a hit like that?
Yeah, that is the absolute best-case scenario when you see something like that. You know, the way it looked, it could have been a broken ankle. It could have been a horrible knee, multi-ligament injury with an ACL and PCL and MCL. You know, there was almost no doubt that the MCL was going to be hurt. But the fact that that was the only problem is a blessing, truly a blessing. And the MCL is the one CL that can heal on its own, and that bodes well for him. They'll put him in a brace and start the rehab. And, you know, the early timeline is 4 to 6 weeks because it's a fairly high-grade MCL tear. However, the timeline can be skewed for better or for worse, depending on how he progresses. And, you know, just from a history standpoint, he's been a guy who's bounced back from injury quickly. He's a tough guy. He's going to be willing to go out on the field with some pain. He'll be in a brace that might limit his mobility a little bit, but definitely best case scenario for Big Ben.
What exactly does the MCL do?
Well, it connects the tibia and the femur on the inside of the knee, and it basically supports the knee from essentially not doing what happened to him. You know, when you get rolled up like that, the ligament's going to fail. Something's going to fail. The bone's going to break or the ligament's going to tear. And in his case, you know, the bones are strong and the way the force was, the ligament tore. But typically what it does is it gives you that collateral or side-to-side stability of the knee. The MCL stands for medial, which is on the inside, collateral ligament. And so it gives you that side-to-side stability. And it's the way it's positioned, it has the possibility to heal on its own versus an ACL injury. And that's why when somebody says ACL, typically it means surgery. And if it's an MCL, it can be treated without surgery. You just brace it for support and let the body do its own natural healing.
All right. That's Dr. Vishal Shah with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Appreciate the time, Doc. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
That's a tough dude.
Oh, no dough. No joke. That guy is – that's a hard man. And I think he got really lucky because that hit looked like it had ruined his knee.
But he takes some pops, and he's just a tough dude. Speaking of injuries, here's some updates on your Texans.
Okay.
Guess who's back? One of your Hard Knocks stars.
What was that kid's name?
Courtney Brown. Courtney Brown has returned. So
he's never played an NFL game, has he? That's
nope,
him, right?
He's going to get his chance because I don't know if he actually played for the Bucs before they cut him. But limited in practice today, Dwayne Brown, Brandon Brooks, Clowney, Ryan Mallett with a chest injury, and Derek Newton, all of them expected to play. Not practicing were Lonnie Ballantyne, Akeem Dent, and Jonathan Grimes. Xavier Suofilo did practice today.
Okay.
So there's something. Roster moves, Mike Muhammad and Carlos Thompson go to the IR. That makes room for Courtney Brown and Brian Peters. They also have moved Max Bulla from the practice squad back to the active roster. So I'm assuming those moves are designed to beef up special teams.
I would guess so.
Because those are guys that...
which can obviously use some beefing up.
Yeah, they need all the help they can get there. So anyway, that's your news of the day, basically. And I've noticed that I don't pay a lot of attention to coach press conferences, but O'Brien's getting saltier and saltier.
He didn't like talking about Randy today, huh?
No. But you're going to get asked
I mean, listen, you're 1-2. Of course he's a little salty.
Yeah.
And, I don't think anybody expects it to get a whole lot better anytime soon, and he's kind of starting that process of where people are going to be asking the same stuff every week. And I don't blame him for being a little testy.
Couple of things to mention here from Twitter. Kevin asked 54.5 over under for Rockets. I think the over is a good bet. Not many back to backs with Dwight this year. I would think they're going to do better than 54.5, but any kind of major injury to Harden and you're under that number. So I probably wouldn't play it just because I could. There's just so much that can go wrong. And they could wind up winning 50 games with some serious injuries, and you don't hit your bet.
What's the number, 54.5?
54.5. I think just if you tell
They won 56 last year.
I don't know. If you tell me everybody's going to be healthy, I'd say that's an easy over. But That's asking a lot.
All right, well, I don't know. That's tough for me. I mean, I think that's a really good number. It's a number I wouldn't want to play, but
if you're playing, I'd take the over.
Yeah,
but usually with unless
you think they'll be better than they were last year.
I do think they'll be better than they were last year. Yeah,
I think the rest of the West has gotten better, and it's that's
the flip side. That's probably why the number's a little lower.
Because San Antonio won 55 last year. You have to expect them to win several more.
But you know what? I think the key is how much you expect Oklahoma City to improve if everybody's healthy there. Because
they only won 45.
For the fact that the Spurs are better, well, the Blazers aren't.
Right.
And that's – I think there's some other teams that are going to drop off. I think
but
that,
the Blazers weren't that good last year.
No.
They were the four seed because they won their crappy division.
Yeah, but they still were a team that won enough games to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, but they were like they basically were like the Mavericks. I mean, they were a playoff team, but not a serious.
And you know what? The Mavericks have taken a step back.
Yeah.
So the
Pelicans will be better.
But
the Thunder will be better.
But what we're talking about win totals is when you're playing those teams, your odds of beating them are better because they're worse, just like your odds of beating the Spurs are not as good. So I think you have to look at the whole balance when you're talking about a win total. This isn't about who's going to make the playoffs and be in the top four. It's a totally different thing.
I just think winning 55, 60 games is not an easy task in the NBA these days. Cleveland won 53 last year. You know, it's not that easy. And to do it back-to-back years, that's a challenge.
I think they're good enough. If you stuck a gun to my head, I'd go over, but it's not a number I would ever play. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We will get some phone calls when we come back, I promise. So if you want to get lined up, now's the time to do it. Right now, I got to tell you about FanDuel. FanDuel's the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. The money's real. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. It's easy to build a team. Just pick your players, stand to the salary cap, sit back, and watch your team win. Entry fees start as low as a dollar, and anyone can play. And I'll tell you what, the Blitzers have just been kicking butt in this FanDuel league we put together. So here's how you get in. It's only $5. You win, you get $200. And last week we had 300 people in it. So here's your chance to say you're the best of all the Blitzers. Go to FanDuel.com/Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. Get signed up now, and you're in. Put your team together. You can beat me. It's been pretty easy the first couple weeks. Here's your chance to do it again. Although I like my team this week, I'm telling you. But it's a great thing. Blitzers are doing well. I've had a lot of people tell me how much they enjoy it. So jump on in there and take part in the Blitz FanDuel League. It's FanDuel.com/Fowler. If you're not on FanDuel, here's how you sign up. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code Fowler and sign up now. There's a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code Fowler today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. And if you're already on FanDuel, just go to FanDuel.com/Fowler. Get signed up now. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
Texas TCU College Football, 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back. Do you live for daily fantasy? You've got your fix with the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday daily fantasy game. It's free to play, and you could win $100. Thursday, we're having happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings in Midtown from 5 until 7. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Buffalo Wild Wings from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 road crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. So go see our man Jason, who, by the way, you'll be able to hear him here in a little bit. 7 o'clock, Hustle Town with Craig Shelton and Jason Braddock. I follow a lot of things on Twitter, some of them, you know, horse racing.
Right.
There's a horse called Dothraki Queen who's running Friday at Keeneland. I've been waiting for there to be a bunch of Game of Thrones named horses.
Yeah.
That's the first one I've seen. I bet you there's more. Man, I don't understand. Well, I kind of understand. My wife has this idea. She wants to buy a drone that we can fly off our balcony.
Okay.
And that would be a Christmas present. I just have a question, though. When did toy helicopters become drones? Because that's really what these things are.
To me, Pretty much. They're just cooler.
To me, a drone is the thing that we fly over and bomb people with. That's a drone. Now, if I could have one of those, that would be awesome because there's a lot of drivers in the city that I would like to just, you know, point a laser at and then hit them with a missile. But, yeah, I can't do that. It's not legal. I understand.
It's the law.
But most of these that I've seen, they're just toy helicopters. And they're calling them drones. What am I missing?
I don't know. I don't know why they call them that, but they are. They're not necessarily toy helicopters because they're more like hovering than they are.
Isn't that what helicopters do?
I guess. Yeah, I guess so.
Just because I had those when I was a kid. They were pretty cool. Yeah,
they're just way better now, so it doesn't seem like a toy helicopter, but I guess you're right.
Well, video games are way better now than they were when I was a kid, and they're still video games, and they look realistic as hell, right? We were playing in television.
I think you're on to something.
I'm just curious. Oh, I told her I'd rather have a sex robot for Christmas, but apparently that's not happening. So, oh well. Let's try a phone call. Dustin, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, man. It's one of the odds Wednesday. So, what are the odds that Julio Jones receives 150 yards or more? And what are the odds that J.J. Watt gets two or more sacks? I'll hang up and listen.
I would expect that you see Julio have another big day. 150 is a lot to ask for, but it wouldn't shock me at all. I'll go 45%. Julio, it's 150. Did he say J.J. Watt, 2.5 sacks?
Yeah, I'll go under. Big time.
I'll go under as well.
The way they're blocking him right now, I think one sack would be a stretch. So,
teams are starting to – I mean, the 20-sack season, that – Listen, when you're a coach in the NFL, you can't let guys do that year after year. You got to figure out a way to stop that guy, and it seems like they.
And you know what? He'll adjust. He'll have some games where he gets a couple sacks, like he did in the opener. But I think, although I would suspect the Texans aren't going to let Julio run around the same way that the Cowboys did. I think 120 is more likely than 150.
Yeah, but I mean, you've seen anything out of the secondary that says they can stop it?
I think scheme wise, they'll
what did Mike Evans do to him yesterday or last week?
What did he do in the second half though? I mean, they adjusted to that. That's and yeah, obviously
Julio Jones isn't Mike Evans either.
No, but again,
and Jameis Winston isn't Matt Ryan.
No, but you've got to get some pressure on Matt Ryan at some point.
Yeah,
which if they do that, they'll be fine. But I'm not going to just automatically say the guy's going to get a 150 because if they game plan and scheme for him, there are things they can do to slow him down. Now, Rico says drones can come with cameras. See, that's why I would like. Well, no, I don't want to get into that. That'll sound creepy. Somebody says they're called drones because no woman would want to date a guy who says he plays with toy helicopters.
That's true.
Yeah, very good point. And somebody else says that drones have weapons. UAVs are what you're talking about, but people call them drones. I don't. I call them toy helicopters, but people do call them drones. It would be. I think it'd be kind of fun to have one to fly off my balcony and just sort of, you know.
I think that's a good way to get arrested.
You think? Because see, I would put a weapon on mine.
That's an even better way.
And then
I think I was thinking you were going to put a camera, and that's already a good way to get arrested. No, this would be worse.
I would put a weapon on it and then stalk other drones and try to knock them out of the air.
Okay.
Because I see them all around now downtown. I think it'd be kind of fun to just sort of sneak attack them. Maybe I could get a stealth drone.
Good luck.
I'm saying.
Are you going to do like when you're flying that out and it goes next to somebody's balcony and they hit it with a broom?
I'm not going next to their balcony.
Where are you going to keep it?
I'm going to keep it about 30 feet out. Where if they're going to shoot me, they're going to have to use a gun.
I don't know. I don't know if I like this idea for you. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, she won't let me have the sex robot, so I'm going to have something.
I don't think you should have any of that stuff.
You know what you could use? You could probably use the drone to, like, if there was a beer release, go to Specs and just have the drone wait in line for you. Or maybe even go inside and pick up
I would cut in front of that.
No, I need the sex robot for that. I need the robot to go wait in line because that's a physical being. And I could program it to go get the right beer. And that would also help because they always limit you to two on the good stuff. So that way I could get four. So I could be in line behind the sex robot.
This is a business idea you need to look into.
Yeah. All right, forget the sex robot thing. Just a robot who stands in line for you.
I mean, you can get a hobo to do that.
Yeah, but They're cheaper, but they smell bad, and I don't really want them touching my beer.
And now you can call this a Hobot, you know, since...
No, that's the sex robot.
That's what I'm saying. The sex robot.
Oh, I feel like you meant the hobo.
I feel like Salisbury's really missed the boat on that. Like all the stuff you can do when you have like your own personal homeless guy. Like I would take that dude to every beer release.
Oh,
every
absolutely. I tried to pay a guy about a month ago to when I can't remember what it was that came out, but I wanted to get two extras.
I wonder if he would let me like take his hobo to Austin for the Jester King releases. I think
it's a good idea. Hey, let's grab a quick phone call.
Does he have an ID yet?
I think they're working on it.
He looks old enough, though. He's not going to get questioned.
Okay. I've never seen him.
No, but, he's an older guy.
But they always ID you at Jester King. You got to be really careful with that. I don't want to drive all the way to Austin and then
not be able to get it.
Yeah.
Let's
grab. If I have to drive with a hobo in my car.
He's a nice guy.
I'm sure he is. I mean, he lives at Sean's house.
He's cleaned up nicely.
Well, that's good.
Let's grab a phone call. Cheryl, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys.
Sports.
Hey, guys. Sports. Hey, listen, I think you need to follow up on that laser drone for Houston traffic. You could even call it Houston happiness because somebody just almost plowed me coming from 288 north to 288 south. But anyway, I got a what are the odds Wednesday question. What are the odds that Leonard Fournette wins the Heisman and LSU gets up in the BCS playoff picture? I'll hang up and listen. Bye, guys.
All right, Cheryl. I think right now Fournette's the favorite at 3-2 on Bovada, so that's your actual odds. And I think if he stays healthy and they win 10 games and he keeps putting up the kind of numbers he's doing, he's probably going to win it.
Yeah, but I think Nick Chubb is in the same argument. Their stats are very close to each other.
I think it depends on who does better out of Georgia and LSU.
Yeah.
But right now the buzz is around Fournette, as it should be.
Well, it's also because Fournette's a freshman. I mean, he's a kid.
Yeah. Well, sophomore.
Or sophomore, yeah. So this is we haven't seen too many underclassmen do what he's done at that position. It's a rare thing to find a running back who does that. I remember when Adrian Peterson was, and that leads us to another conversation. You know, should Fournette have to sit out another year, or should he sit out a year, or should he?
And let's talk about that when we come back, because I think there's a case to be made.
Because I remember saying, Adrian Peterson, when he was a freshman, could have played in the NFL. Fournette is built like a guy who can play in the NFL.
There's not many guys, frankly, that are.
No.
But this guy's one of them. We'll talk about it when we come back. Right now, I got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. And I've told you a lot about Texas Mattress Makers, the three things that are going to happen. You're going to get a great deal. You're going to sleep better. And right now, you're going to do something nice for a Houston Children's Charity. Texas Mattress Makers is teaming up with them to help give everybody a good night's sleep. For every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers is going to donate a bed to a Houston child in need. And Houston Children's Charity is a nonprofit dedicated to improving the quality of life for greater Houston's underprivileged, abused, and disabled children. And their Better Night's Sleep program has provided mattresses, bed frames, sheets, pillows, and blankets to over 5,800 children in need. So you go, if you're thinking about buying a new bed, you go to Texas Mattress Makers, you're going to be able to help a kid get a bed too. So you're doing something for yourself, you're doing something for them. And the best part is you're going to save money, at least 50% guaranteed. And the reason for that is Texas Mattress Makers makes them right there. The warehouse is right there. The factory's right there. They make them and then sell them directly to you. If you go to a retail store, you're paying a big markup. You're paying way too much money. That's why they tell you you're going to save at least 50% guaranteed, because you're buying it directly from them. You're getting a quality product, custom fitted so you can sleep better. And you're dealing with great people who are doing good things in the community. Yuval and the gang over there are fantastic. If you tell them I sent you, I promise you they'll take care of you. Blitzers tell me all the time about the great deals they get over there and how well they're treated. And I promise you, they will take care of you, and you can take care of Houston's Children's Charity. Texas Mattress Makers is at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Go check them out. Tell them I sent you. I promise you, they'll take care of you, and you can take care of someone else. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. TexasMattressMakers.com.
Of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.